It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running for this ninth day of December 2020. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we hang out on the interweb tubes. It's also where we keep the chat room, The Horn Chat Room, which is a merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza for your enhanced listening pleasure, free and easy. And it's simple enough. If you've never been there before, you'll enjoy it if you show up. And if you haven't been there in a while, just come on by and hang out for a little bit. When you do pop by, you will be greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky. And I'm doing me some moderating right now because, well, Sparky takes Wednesdays off. And Brother Deacon, pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Deacon Steve, has not yet arrived in the sanctuary. Yes, because it is, after all, prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. And we got prayer meeting stuff to attend to. Good stuff. I think a good time will be had by all. We've been doing prayer meeting services virtually for, well, since March. And nonetheless, the little old blue-haired ladies down in the Fellowship Hall kitchen have held up their end of the bargain, continuing to make Fellowship Hall meals every Wednesday. I was surprised when I popped by the Fellowship Hall kitchen earlier today, because I'd never seen them do it before, but the little old blue-haired ladies had decided to do street tacos. I didn't even know they could spell street tacos. But they'd chopped up some tomatoes and cilantro and parsley and onions and garlic and made some pico de gallo, and they had come up with some slaw. I'll explain why in a minute. And goodness gracious, yeah, they did. There were shredded beef and shredded pork, and lo and behold, buffalo chicken chunks. Woohoo! Yeah, all kinds of good, nice and spicy, those buffalo chicken ones. So they went into the to-go carriers, and the little old blue-haired men fanned out across the countryside, delivering prayer meeting Wednesday Fellowship Hall dinner, even though we can't gather together in the Fellowship Hall kitchen. Yes, and there he's arrived, Brother Deacon Steve from Georgia Stan, just sent me a message. Blob, Steve, good to see you. Good to see it. See, your pinch hit moderator made it. I appreciate it so very, very much, Steve. I really, really do. Because I can't do all that moderating. It's too much hard work in the middle of a 3-hour radio program. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it is prayer meeting Wednesday, but all programs at the Horn begin with gratitude. And this program is no different. No. We have thanks to send out to our partial sponsors for the ninth day of the month. Thank you very kindly to James. And thank you to Mary Bell. Thank you to Ralphs. Thank you to Khalil. Thank you to Libby. Thank you to our friends at West Mesa Photography. Thank you, Paul. Well, that was last night, Paul. Yeah. Thank you, Paul. And getting us started this evening, thanks very kindly to Jude and to Jeremy. So that means we've actually taken the fundraising goal down to $810. $810. And what does that mean? 810 means that we're trying to knock out the last $210 of Monday's funding, and then we got yesterday's funding and this evening's. So there's a $210 needs to be knocked out for Monday, and then we'll get on the rest of it. Because, frankly, making sure that we remain fully funded is necessary to making sure this program remains on the air. And it's kind of grim right now, but hopefully it won't be that way forever. And we'll knock some of this down. Let's see. Subject line, number 9 dream. Bob! On this day, the 9th day of December, just after yesterday's stunning 40th anniversary of the murder of John Lennon, I couldn't help but think of his album, Number 9 Dream. The hook line in the song, Ah Bawakawa Puse Puse, had absolutely no meaning, but just came to Lennon in a dream. Oh, God, here comes Jeffrey. Jeffrey suggests that the line may have not provided any inspiration from John Lennon, but Bart Simpson turned Bawakawa into Cowabunga, and the television show The Simpsons went Puse Puse, as Puse in French means to sprout or shoot up. And The Simpsons did just that, as the show became Fox's first television show to reach the top 30 in ratings in the 90s. Well, thank you, Jeffrey. That Fox fact is kind of a rare creature, because so few facts come from Fox. Oh, Jeffrey reflects, I remember the 80s. My favorite band was Motley Hoople, and their song All the Young Dudes sang, Girls, Girls, Girls. No, Giraffe. That would have been Motley Crue and Mott the Hoople. Oh, my God. Why am I trying to explain 80s music to a giraffe? I don't think Mott the Hoople was even 80s. Oh, well. Yeah. I'm sure the Horn ad hoc research department will get right on that. All the Young Dudes, Mott the Hoople. When was it released? John Lennon would go on to explain that the song Number 9 Dream originated from an old wives' tale that stated, if you keep seeing number 9, it means that you are a charitable person who will lead a great life by doing charitable works. Yes, Jeffrey. Jeffrey questions this wives' tale. I beg to differ. Hell, Herman Cain saw 999 from 9 till noon, and that creepy motherfucker didn't donate a damn dime, let alone 9 cents, to anything or anybody. You could say the COVID deep sixth, the creepy Cain, but they buried him 9 feet under because 6 feet was just not far enough. 999. Yeah, that's how Brother Deacon Asa lets me know that the stream is streaming and the packets are passing and the bits are biting, and he tells me every evening, 999. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mott the Hoople. I thought it was the 70s. Yeah, Mott the Hoople's the 70s. We regret the error. Jeffrey regrets the error. I regret Jeffrey's puns. Boy, that Jeffrey has quite a perspective on these high-minded matters. And I'm sure y'all remember Sharon Bialik telling a story of how she went to an interview and Cain went all Donald Trump on her and just started grabbing her pousse pousse. And of course, many of us then remember Rush Limbaugh tried to turn her into a prostitute when he suggested her name was Bialik and that she would gladly go down on any man for some money. Yep. These are your good, God-fearing, right-wing, morals-driven Republicans taking this country right down to the ground. Emphasis on the word right. And on this day, in 1994, Jocelyn Elders suggested that masturbation be taught in the schools as part of sex education, and apparently Jeffrey Toobin recently readily agreed with Elders as he whipped it out and demonstrated to a class of students who were watching virtually at home. Oh, Christ. Now what, Jeffrey? Jeffrey shares his advocacy. I believe what Tubin did was a stroke of genius, and the children should take pointers from this upbeat man. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's all sing along. You Should Be Stroking by Clarence Carter, 1986. And for all of her troubles, Bill Clinton whacked Jocelyn Elders, firing her shortly after her suggestion. Funny to think, Bill Clinton firing somebody for wanting to discuss sex, but then again, you know, Bill. Yes, Jeffrey. Somebody should have told Clinton just because it's oral, that doesn't make it moral. Excellent choral action, Jeffrey. Yes, the hypocritical Republicans became a real thorn in the side to Bill Clinton for all of his sexploits, but for a guy who graduated from Yale and studied at Oxford as a Rhodes Scholar, Clinton wasn't very street smart. This has been Joey's Journal for the Thorn in the Side Thursday, the 9th day of December, 2020. With Giraffery reading all the important roads signs all the way to Georgia. Warnock and Ossoff, January 5th. Yeah. Thanks for that. Thank you, Joey. And let's see. Yes, Mott the Hoople, All the Young Dudes, 1972. Yeah. I'm not seeing... anything amiss with the stream unless Brother Deacon tells Asa tells me otherwise, because Bill Rick says your stream head on keeps it at headon.live keeps stopping. Is it me or your successor to Frontier? Well, I think for once it's not me, and I don't think it's the server. So maybe refresh everything and start over, Billable. Yeah. And if ten bucks rolls in right quick to get us down to $800 to go, Ralph's will take it down to $790. So that would be my most helpful $10 challenge on the table. Thank you, Ralph's. By the way, Brother Usher Steve says I went to the sanctuary today at the Cathedral of Common Sense, and there was a leak up by the pulpit. The water damage isn't that bad, and I put a bucket under the leak. I'll check it periodically. I'm also going to speak to Emery McGorkensprung to take a look at it. He's a former carpenter, you know. I'll see if he can find some quotes to get it fixed. I'll let you know. Good. Good. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Usher Steve. Yeah, that Emery McGorkensprung. Heck of a guy. Heck of a guy. And Darlene pointing out, hey, the stream sounds good on my end. Wow, how rare. Thanks, I think. Darlene? And just in from an anonymous friend of the program, when Donnie chooses, you loses. The challenge is on the table. And any and all contributions to the horn tonight and overnight up to $100. So if we can raise $100, that'll take us down to after Ralph's challenge is met, that'll take us down to $590. And that would be great, because that would mean that Monday was funded, and now we'll start on Tuesday. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. Let's see here. Well, it's prayer meeting Wednesday, and brethren and sistren, I realize we're worshiping virtually. But nonetheless, ho, glory, I'm going to call on you to get up off of your seats and onto your feet, because the aerobic exercise will do us, does everybody good. Get up off of your feet, seat and onto your feet two or three times, and well, that'll be good for your circulation. And walk on over and imagine the blood red carpet as you lay your hands upon the subwoofer to your computer, because you know wherever one, two or more are gathered together, well, there too is common sense. Mm-hmm. Feel those healing rays of common sense. flowing through you from the server on high. I am Arch Pope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Humanist. No, it's not an H word. Grand Guru and Munificent Mullah Bob Kincaid. It's Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. So just to make things feel like a real honest to God Prayer Meeting Wednesday, I've got the Minister of Music connected via Zoom. So, Minister of Music, if you would, please.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers.
No, not that, Minister. This.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity, yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
Sistren, hallelujah, glory. And in the interim, as the plates were passing, well, Brother Tom out in sunny San Rafael reminds us of, and we've got a new title to add in. I need to jot this down. Heck of a humanist. And that got me to thinking. Or how about highfalutin humanist? So we will add highfalutin humanist, heck of a humanist, into the litany. Yes. And the plates did pass. Thank you very kindly to Sharon. Thank you to Sharon for jumping in. Sharon met Ralph's challenge. So, and then met $15 of the When Donnie Chooses You Loses challenge. And that means that we are on our way to getting down to $590 and finishing fundraising for Monday, which will be fantastic. And so there's $85 remaining on the When Donnie Chooses, You Loses challenge. Ah, wait. Thank you, Nina. There's $75 remaining on the When Donnie Chooses, You Loses challenge. $75 remaining. Thank you, Nina. Thank you very, very kindly. I like that, too. Hellacious humanist, Tom in sunny San Rafael suggests. That's a possibility. Most definitely. So, it being Prayer Meeting Wednesday and all, let's actually, before we go, or harried humanist, thank you, Dave and the Blind, so many possibilities. Let's check in with the hustlers and the cut purses and the foot pads and the cheats of the religion industry, shall we? You know, we've had a lot of fun with Kenneth Copeland out there laughing and spraying his viral particles all over his brain dead congregation. And sadly, while he did blow COVID, he hasn't proven himself very effective at protecting his congregation or healing anybody else. But, well, he's moved on anyway. I think he's, what, 84 years old, Kenneth Copeland? He's moved on from COVID because there are bigger problems.
Go on and do it. Grab that and stick it in your mouth. Put your hand on your head like that. Bald spots, I call you gone. Hair! Grow! Hair! Grow!
Yeah, all the bald folks in the congregation are putting their hands on their head. I didn't say Simon Says. And apparently their spouses are putting their hands on their heads, hoping to, I don't know, get a little osmotic hair growth going. Hair grow! Grow rhymes with blow, and he's blowing the COVID all over the auditorium there. One wag over at Twitter saw the clip and called it Hair Club for Amen. That's a remote cowbell. I mean, if you want a pun, that's worthy of giraffery. Yes, it is. Grow hair, grow. Mm-hmm. Beautiful thing, huh? So, you know, that's just a taste. That's just a start. But as Jeffrey reminded us, and as I'm sure Lou will remind us, yeah, the special runoff elections, January 5th in Georgia. It is now too late to register, so now it's a matter of getting out the vote. Of course, those have been available since absentee ballots have been available for some time now. And hopefully the numbers will be huge, people casting their ballots for John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock. But since it is prayer meeting Wednesday, it's worth taking a look at how the religion industry is responding to Reverend Warnock running for a seat in the Senate of the United States. I'm sure the fact that he's African-American has nothing to do with the way these gospel sharps are responding. Because among others, Greg Locke, if I recall, Pastor Greg Locke, is he the one that, I think he's the one that was so brutally cruel to his wife that she had to go into hiding. Mm-hmm. Greg Locke declared after Reverend Warnock said, "I'm a pro-choice pastor," he turned his caps lock on and screamed, "If you're pro-choice, you're anti-Jesus." No, that's not quite how it works. Because Jesus is not a fascist little punk and a raging hypocrite like Pastor Greg Locke is. Little Ben Shapiro declared, "And I'm the square root of a negative number." Charlie Kirk, who trended today on the Twitter, said, "You cannot be pro-abortion and also be a Christian." So apparently, as Hemant Mehta pointed out, it's friendly atheist, Amy COVID Barrett's faith is off limits. Can't talk about it. But you can go after an African-American pastor who preaches from the very same pulpit where once stood Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who preached social justice, you know, Jesus style. So the hypocrisy is sort of hard to miss. And the racism, too, takes a, well, doesn't take a lot of nerve. I guess you'd say it takes a lot of bigotry for good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian, white Republicans to declare that the black guy isn't a Christian, but the woman who wants to spread COVID throughout the land even more, Amy COVID Barrett, somehow is. And one of the things they get upset with Reverend Warnock over is that he once preached that you can't be a Christian and be in the military. The thing is, while that probably grates on some people, not the least of whom are Christian members of the military, it's actually in line with the teachings of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi who wore a dress every day of his life. Because he didn't stutter when he talked about not killing people. And he preached a radical message of peace and forgiveness. Don't anybody tell Kenneth Copeland about that. He's out there busy growing hair. I haven't quite figured out how that plays into saving souls, but oh well. Yeah. And so coming up this Saturday, let's see. That'll be the 12th. The 12th of December. In cities around the country, organizers are calling on Christians to literally walk in circles. Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Joshua 6:16.
America is under attack.
No, it isn't.
Our voices rang out on November 3rd, but the most corrupt forces in America and abroad and their conspirators in the media and big tech have tried to silence our voices and our vote. This is a defining moment in history, and our country needs us now. We are at a crossroads. One path leads to a return to our founding Judeo-Christian principles: love of God, life, liberty, justice, law, and order. The other path leads to socialism, globalism, destruction, a dismantling of our great nation as we know it.
Now that's we're 52 seconds into a 3 minute and 20 second blurb here. And how much bullshit have you already experienced? This is my second or third time viewing this stupid thing. This is an outright call for insurrection. And I realize that the First Amendment is nothing more these days than a life support system for the religion industry. I realize that. But still, it's certainly jarring, maybe a little bit shocking, to see these people who call themselves followers of Christ is a stretch, to say the very least. Who's going to be there in D.C. on Saturday? Well, convicted felon and liar Mike Flynn is going to be there, and he recently, I got to wonder. I know Agent Fred checks in on the program most every evening. Agent Fred, can you get a message over to the guys and ladies in the Secret Service, please? Could you check in and see how they feel about Mike Flynn threatening the life of a former president? Because that's what he did. Mike Flynn said that Obama was afraid of him and Obama should still be afraid of me. What are you planning there, Mike? You got a deal with some of the folks you tried to sell the United States out to? I mean, what's going on there, Mike? Maybe the Secret Service should have a little talk with old Mike Flynn. Eric Metaxas will be there, another loon. A woman who is campaigning against the right of women to vote, named Abby Johnson, will be showing up. And faith healer Cindy Jacobs. And finally, a convicted drug addict and MyPillow dude, Mike Lindell. What a cavalcade of stars that will be Saturday in Washington, D.C. Goodness me, yes. So if they can't overturn the results of an election that has been clearly demonstrated to have been one of the cleanest we have had in modern history, they're going to... What? Oh, they're going to overturn the election by walking in circles. Bible verse this evening, courtesy of Flavio. Matthew 26:48-52. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, "Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast." And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest's and smote off his ear. Then Jesus said unto him, "Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword." Jesus wasn't kidding. And that's what Raphael Warnock has preached in the past, that it's incompatible, killing and following the great God Almighty. So they want to walk in circles.
But the voices of patriots and people of faith will not be silenced. America is a gift entrusted to us by our Creator, and a republic secured by our founding fathers and those who sacrificed to keep us free. Now it is our moment to save our republic.
You know, just about every image in this thing has a direct reference to that old list of the defining principles of fascism. The hyperveneration. Did I almost say ventilation? The hyperveneration of the military. A view of history centered on nationalist fervor.
Protect our freedoms from the corrupt and destructive forces at work. The world is watching. Jericho was a city of false gods and corruption. On God's command, Joshua and the army of Israel marched around the city seven times.
Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls come a-tumbling down.
And let out a loud shout, and God brought down the walls of the city and exposed the darkness. Our Jericho march was born of a vision from God. We the people peacefully march, pray, and protest for election integrity, transparency, and reform until the walls of this Jericho crumble down. We pray, march, and protest to preserve free and fair elections in our great republic for the sake of our generation and generations to come. We are calling on all American patriots and people of faith to join us on our Jericho marches.
They want free and fair elections, which are defined as any election that Donald Trump wins. Any election that Donald Trump does not win, however, is not free and fair. Now, I guarantee you, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that whoever put this grift together set it up as a 501c3 tax-exempt organization. Now, when you're a 501c3 tax-exempt organization, you cannot endorse candidates. And yet the video to this, with every reference to saving America, includes some image with a Trump 2020 sign or one of those obnoxious Trump flags. So this is essentially a campaign ad, and it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Every day at noon at their state capitals, these marches will culminate on December 12th with a Let the Church Roar National March on Washington, D.C., and regional marches in all the swing states. If you are deeply troubled by the fraud and corruption in this election and want to protect the future of a free America, then come and join us. Stand for truth and justice. This is our Battle of Jericho for people of faith and patriots from all across America. Join us December 12th at noon in Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Georgia, Carson City, Nevada, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Lansing, Michigan, Madison, Wisconsin, and Phoenix, Arizona. We believe in a great and powerful God who can move mountains, expose corruption, and restore justice.
And apparently spread viruses. Because you know that in the immediate aftermath of these assholes gathering in those cities, there will be further outbreaks of COVID-19. Because there won't be a mask among them. If you recall the protests that followed the murder of George Floyd, everybody was wearing masks, and that's why it didn't contribute to greater spread of the disease. But these mask-hole COVIDiot Christians, they're not gonna, because among other things, they are being openly commanded to spread the disease by their filthy preachers. Take, for instance, in California, a guy by the name of Rob McCoy, who's a gospel sharp and a mask. He's a politician masquerading as a gospel sharp. And he's in cahoots with a Christian nationalist by the name of David Lane, as well as the aforementioned neo-maxi-zoom dweeby, Charlie Kirk. And back before Thanksgiving, he was in the pulpit there in California. I'm not going to bother with it. But he did a kind of a strip tease. Yeah. They played because they got big time musical instruments and shit there. They played The Stripper. You know the song The Stripper? Na 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 na. Na 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 that. And as they played it, he unknotted and removed his necktie and swung it around and flung it off into the audience. But then he did the following. He bellowed, "Cannot America see the hypocrisy and the stupidity of all this? You're being lied to, and we're finished with your tyranny, and we're going to enjoy Thanksgiving, and we're going to worship God. Open your churches. Go back to church. Open businesses. Take off the masks." I'm unable to see this as anything but open, willful, intentional, attempted manslaughter, if not murder. D- Don't sit here and yell and say stuff because you feel brave here. Bravery is when you go out there alone and you have character and you stand no matter what the cost because it's the right thing to do. And people are counting on you. Don't wait for someone else to do it. You do it. And the bravery of folks is amazing to me. The only reason why we're still standing is because men and women have a spine. And they've stood. And they continue to push back. But if we fold, we're going to have to explain this to generations to come. While on our watch, we surrendered the greatest nation on the face of the earth to tyranny. And it's not going to happen. So, just to review, trying to do something to stop massacres of our children in schools, tyranny, letting people walk around with deadly weapons wherever and whenever they choose, not tyranny, but asking people to wear a mask so as to slow the spread of a disease that's killed 300,000 or nearly 300,000 of our fellow citizens. Oh, by God, that's unbearable tyranny. Who can stand it? On the other hand, letting a guy who was put into office by about a million people in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, letting that guy rule the entire nation of 335 or more millions of people, not tyranny either. But this is a Christian fascist. Oh, we don't do politics. Well, then get out of the church, because upon this rock I will build my ecclesia, which is public square. It's all about politics. You're contending for the welfare and the concerns and the livelihood of your neighbors. Yeah, these Christo-fascists like to use that Greek word, ekklesia, which just means church. And comes down to us in other languages. For instance, in Spanish, I believe, church is iglesia. Yeah. It is what it is. But he sees the church as a governing body. He hungers for power over others. He yearns to be able to drive the likes of us into his filthy, disease-spreading church and others like it. He tells his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing freak followers that masks are non-scientific. What science are you talking about? That's moronic and stupid, and we know better, and every doctor that speaks according to science is stifled and shuttered, and they lose their livelihood. Well, actually, it's the exact opposite. You remember when Nitwit Nero was over at Walter Reed, maybe or maybe not having the COVID? And he's such a goddamn 75-year-old baby. What was that John Prine song, The Biggest Baby in the World? He was such a baby that he couldn't just stay in his room and be treated. And he had to get his binky and his whoopee and go for a ride and go for a little ride around because baby was colicky to get him to settle down. And he drove around. They drove him around Walter Reed to wave at the cheering maggots. Well, a doctor there at Walter Reed at that point in time called all of that out. And he said it was deeply irresponsible, that it was dangerous, that it exposed everybody in that hermetically sealed vehicle to Nitwit Nero's spray and spew of viral particles. All of which was true. Then officials at Walter Reed, and this was not a military doctor, suddenly he's not working at Walter Reed treating patients anymore. Oh, no, we didn't do that because of what he said, which is, well, in conspiracy theory, a living proof that they did it precisely of what because of what he said, and probably on orders from the White House itself. Because thou shalt not criticize the actions of the God Emperor, no matter how toxic, no matter how dangerous, no matter how deadly. And this McCoy creep even says that the people who have died of coronavirus in his own county, they didn't really die of coronavirus. Those were all comorbidities. And so this is what was driving Charlie Kirk when he responded to Raphael Warnock. You can't be pro-choice and be a Christian. We attend churches that just avoid the tough questions and educate our children in those churches. When they have tough questions in the church and the pastors say, we don't do politics, we're not going to talk about gender, we're not going to talk about abortion, we're not going to talk about marriage, we're not going to talk none of those things, we no longer worry. We kind of farm our children off to an education system, not for education, but indoctrination. And we wake up and we wonder what happened. You know, we've done the whole prayer meeting Wednesday shtick for well over a decade. Hell, I think Prayer Meeting Wednesday goes all the way back to the earliest days of this program being broadcast in America's fifth smallest radio market. And, you know, some things, the sexual abuse, the rape stories are disgusting and infuriating. Others, like, you know, the bald, you know, praying hair to grow, they're wacky. This guy and others like him, however, and the people that are going to show up and grunt and hoot in Washington, D.C., and Atlanta, and Carson City, and Lansing, and Harrisburg, and Madison, and elsewhere, that's dangerous. And they are weaponizing. And because the Supreme Court is dominated by theocratic, dominionist, if not outright Christian reconstructionist fascists, we are almost helpless to stop them. So what they're doing is they are announcing that they're going to kill. That they have, and they are proud of the fact that they have been killing. And they are going to kill again. And then this gospel sharp McCoy, if anybody was wondering, made it abundantly clear. We're in the middle right now of a bloodless civil war. Half of America is not going to put up with what just took place. They're upset. They're sore losers. What just took place is they got their asses beaten. America rejected, for the time being, fascism. And the fascists aren't happy about it. What's that? Arnold says, this has to stop. Fuck these people. No advocacy. The Battle of Jerko. Bring your own lube, Jerko. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's going to be, as far as I can tell, no end in sight to all of this. Then there's Michelle Batshit Crazy Bachman. On the Wall Builders Barnstorm Georgia tour. Again, no masks. And they bill themselves as biblical citizenship. I didn't know you could be a citizen of the Bible. But if they ever got their way, we'd have no choice. Right? So Michelle Batshit, 1L Michelle Batshit Crazy Bachman, thinks her vote was stolen. Mm-hmm. Really? Because she lost. Couldn't be that America disagrees with her batshit craziness. Had to have been stolen. Right?
From the legal point of view, from the moral point of view, America is not on board with Joe Biden as the next president of the United States. We're not there. And the reason why we're not there is because we're not that dumb in the United States. Because we know, without a shadow of a doubt, this man did not get the votes on election night.
You know that. How do you know that, 1L Michelle? Yeah, we're not dumb. Yeah, you are. But this is all the setup to an attempted coup. Plain and simple.
It didn't happen. Donald Trump got the votes on election night. So why would we be like drones, chumps, and fools to go along with this? When the clock was striking 11:59 and 59 seconds on the 400th anniversary of this gift of God to the world, this idea of voting for the people and the laws that you live under, that we take for granted, that's exactly when Satan was snatching away from America, rule by the consent of the governed, in other words, stealing from us our right to vote. I am highly offended.
No, you're just high.
Insulted, angry, and I'm not going to stand for the fact that my vote was stolen.
Ooh, listen to the angry white lady. Her vote was stolen. So I'm sure she didn't just vote for the presidency. Whose votes were stolen to keep Republicans in power in other races where she voted for them and they won? I'm just trying to. Were votes stolen when she got beaten and was thrown out of the House of Representatives? Is that it? Because it couldn't possibly be that, you know, God reached down with his fickle finger of fate and just tweaked her on her little pink tomato nose and said, no more government gravy train for you, missy. Nah, couldn't possibly be that. No, never, no. Mm-mm. Yeah, get up there. Clap, clap, you monkeys, clap. And again, we could laugh at this if we wanted. But it's dangerous. They're trying. They are trying to steal the presidency in broad daylight. And Sparky just sent this along to me. You know that Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is trying to sue to overturn the results of the election, asserting that the state of Texas has the right to change election results in other states. He asked the Supreme Court for permission to sue Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin over their election results because Joe Biden won. Well, 17 states where COVID Caligula won have told the Supreme Court that they too will, that they will support the Attorney General of Texas's attempts to control the vote in states that aren't Texas. Yeah. That would be Missouri Stan, Alabama, Arkansas Stan, Florida Stan, Talibandiana, Kansas Stan, Louisiana Stan, Mississippi Stan, Montana Stan, Nebraska Stan, North Dakota Stan, Oklahoma Stan, South Carolina Stan, South Dakota Stan, Tennessee Stan, Utah Stan, and of course, almost level West by Cole Trump Virginia Stan. Yeah. So the tax dollars of the people of West Virginia are being used, and of those other 16 states, are being used for the bullshit purpose of an entirely fraudulent and frivolous piece of pettifogging. And, you know, that's not all there is to it. Ken Paxton, of course, is still under indictment for felony securities fraud charges. And he wants to supplant his will for that of the voters in the four states. The four swing states will file replies in opposition by 3 p.m. tomorrow. And the Electoral College will gather, such as it is, next Monday. And Joe Biden should wind up with 36 more electoral votes than the 270 he needs to become president. 306, the same number that, curiously, COVID Caligula got 4 years ago. The Attorney General of Michigan, a woman who is not to be screwed with by the name of Dana Nessel, said, "The erosion of confidence in our democratic system isn't attributable to the good people of Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, or Pennsylvania, but rather to partisan officials like Mr. Paxton, who place loyalty to a person over loyalty to their country." Ooh. She just called him un-American. The Michigan issues raised in this complaint have already been thoroughly litigated and roundly rejected in both state and federal courts by judges appointed from both political parties, including a judge appointed by Donald J. Trump. The J stands for juris pissantness. Mr. Paxton's actions are basically are beneath the dignity of the office of Attorney General and the people of the great state of Texas. Well, careful how you fling around great state of Texas there, General Nessel. I understand the point, but yeah. Suman asks, "Ken Paxass? Is this guy angling for a presidential pardon? I can't think of any other reason for this so-called lawsuit. I suppose there's the other simple reason that he's a fucking maggot moron." Well, you really ought not discount that as a reason. Because, well, we had the clip last night of Mo Brooks, Les Brames, declaring that he would challenge the election results in Congress. And it now looks like, oh my God, looks like he's going to have one or more senators who will actually join him in doing that in an attempt to create chaos. Yeah. So we're not done. He's going to go kicking and screaming all the way to January the 20th. And because he lives surrounded by the shrieks of the spirochetes that infest his brain, Nitwit Nero has now convinced himself that the Texas litigation will succeed. Here's the problem. We're talking about the Supreme Court of the United States. And we're talking about a gang of theocrats who have 5 votes to 4. Well, 3 and occasionally 1 more for sanity. Of all, Flavio says, what's with the microphone? It sounds like you're running a brush across it or paper. Weird. Well, I'm not, and I'm not even touching it. In fact, I'm a good 6 inches away from it. So maybe it ain't me. Don't know. Let's see. Jimmy in the Great Northwest said, you don't need no mask. Send me $5 and you too will be saved from the virus. Yeah, I know. Oh, Albert asked, what happened to last night's podcast? Last night's podcast got inadvertently not uploaded until this afternoon, because little did I know, but Chantel crapped out on me in medias res, and I didn't know it. So the podcast for yesterday is up at both Podbean and White Rose Society, and the easiest place to go and grab the podcast is, of course, headon.live. So there's that. Oh, and I understand, Darlene. Darlene said a little bit ago, sorry, I meant that shot about the stream being good for once directed at my end, not yours. I understand, Darlene, because you're still, internet-wise, if I recall correctly, you still labor under the lash of the fine folks at Frontier, right? I think, yeah. No worries, Darlene. I thought it was funny. And Steve in New York, in regards to the lineup of celebrities and special guests at the walk-in circles around Washington, D.C. rally, observed, what, no Scott Baio? No Kid Rock? What about Opal Covey? Opal COVID? Yeah, I know. maybe they'll show up yet. Lee in New York said, crop circles? Oops, prayer circles. I'd say just let them pray for a candidate to win an election. Then just let us go to the polls and vote for a candidate to win an election. Pray and pray, day by day. There'll be pie in the sky when you die. But that's, well, we are in a time of, Princess Skeletor, you know who I mean, Kellyanne Conjob, said that they were going to be dealing, way back in 2017, said they were going to be dealing with alternative facts. Well, another entity joining in on Ken Paxton's lawsuit was COVID Caligula himself. In the filing from Trump's pettifoggers, they wrote as follows. Despite the chaos of election night and the days which followed, the media has consistently proclaimed that no widespread voter fraud has been proven. But this observation misses the point. It does. The constitutional issue is not whether voters committed fraud, but whether state officials violated the law by systematically loosening the measures for ballot integrity so that fraud becomes undetectable. That translates from Magadese into English as, we can't prove any fraud at all, except a few cases that were actually perpetrated by maggots. But the fact that we can't prove the fraud means there has to have been fraud. It's the old rule of conspiracy theories, writ large and transferred into the election fraud category. We can't prove that, for instance, the Obamas funded the lab in Wuhan that created the coronavirus, but the fact that we can't prove it proves that there is a conspiracy to do just that. And the ashes of Aristotle collectively scream into the void. Yeah. That's straight out of the Alex Jones playbook, without a doubt. Oh, yeah. So there's going to be still more chaos. And it'll, you know, I realize it takes a toll, but that's kind of the purpose of this program, to push back against the chaos and the crazy. Yeah. Because, well, it's a well-known fact of behavioral psychology that people living with and dealing with a family member, for instance, who has mental illness, suffer as much as the person who is mentally ill. Because it takes a toll on people who are otherwise mentally healthy. And so we put a spotlight on this stuff just for the purpose of saying, hey, you're really okay. I'm okay, you're okay, we're okay. It's the craziness out there among the maggots that's making us feel so not okay. Let's go to Colorado. No, let's go to the phones first. We got John in Central PA. Hey, John.
Hey, what's up, Bob?
Oh, not a heck of a lot. How about you? I was afraid I'd lost you for a minute there.
Yeah, I had it on mute. I just had a scramble in the find of you. But anyway, no, this is the first time in a while since I've been able to call in during the week.
Yeah, I know. I know. This is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was working second shift, and yeah, so like that was it's four days, you know. So that's not. I mean, we have Friday. I had Fridays off, but like I was working 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. Oh man,
no, there's no way. That is the most life consuming shift there is.
Oh yeah, and the funny thing is, like I'm actually training on first right now for a couple of weeks, but like my designated shift is what they call fourth shift, and that's the weekend daytime shift. Which, like, you might think the same thing about that, but I don't really do much on the weekends anyway. You know what I mean? Like, so like I work 3 days, I get paid for 40 hours. I only work 36 hours. You know what I mean? It's during the day. You know what I mean? So, like, I can do things after I get off at 6 p.m.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then I have 4 days off. You know? Yeah, I think that's a little less life-consuming. I'll tell you that right now. But, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I tell you what, though, working first shift, going from second to first, I seriously, like, will wake up in the morning, I'm like, dude, I so wish I was still on second shift, you know, like, I don't know. I found myself really missing it. But anyway, enough about work. I wanted to call in because I know you mentioned John Fetterman, our PA's lieutenant governor the other day. My ears perked up, of course, because I mean, I'm actually a big fan of him. He caught my, I mean, I knew that he was running, you know, for lieutenant governor, and I guess that's a separate position the governor runs on a separate ticket.
Everybody runs for their own thing.
Okay. All right. So he actually, we talked about the dumb, dumb left, as I like to call him. I think you call him the unicorn sparkle fart propelled brigade.
Sparkle fart propelled unicorn cavalry purity patrol. Yeah, it's a bit of a mouthful.
Yeah, I like that. I do have it down. I just, yeah, sometimes it's such a mouthful that sometimes I have to shorten it to get to the point. But like, yeah, so this is actually like a unicorn situation where like he's actually liked by them, and he's liked by everybody really, because he actually falls under the radar because a lot of Republicans never ever utter his name, and they don't even know who he is. So they'll like say all this crap, like they hate Wolf. Like Governor Wolf has become the Hillary Clinton of Pennsylvania. You know what I mean? Like constant memes, you know, about him and Dr. Levine, of course. You know what I mean? Nasty, you know, vulgar, disgusting shit, anti-American shit, anti-human shit, really. And so I came across him, and he kind of falls on the radar from that kind of shit. And he actually primaried, like back in when Wolf first ran in 2014, his like sort of protege was became the lieutenant governor eventually. And this John Fetterman, this 6'8", I guess, former wrestler or something, with an open mind and a free mouth, comes out of nowhere and primaries this dude and wins. I mean, he unseated him or whatever. It's like, and he's not afraid to stand out to Republicans. In fact, I'll tell you this. Republicans in the last budget bill passed a provision that says that prohibits any government worker in the Capitol to hang flags up that is an American flag or a couple other, you know, smorgasbord of flags that they had on this list, because John Fetterman hangs a marijuana flag and an LGBTQ, I guess, I'm sorry, what's the new one? The LGBTQIA, maybe?
LGBTQQIA, yeah.
Okay.
So he hung a pride hung a pride flag and a trans flag?
Yes, and he also hung a marijuana flag. And that's why they put this provision in there, to get him to take it down. So like, ha-ha, we got a state law saying he can't hang it. You know what he's doing, Bob? He's refusing to take it down, and he told him.
And he's within his rights to refuse, because they are trampling his First Amendment rights.
Right. And he said, I will take it down when you get the pride flag police after me. He's like, or B, pass legislation recognizing equal rights under the law for LGBTQIA citizens and pass legislation for marijuana to be legal in Pennsylvania on the recreational level. And I'll take these flags down. But before that, you know, basically come and get him. You know what I mean? And this guy's big. Like, he's got a...
Molon Labe, motherfucker!
Like,
yeah. Molon Labe, take it!
Right. Like, oh, man. Like, I love this guy. I love John Fetterman. I hope he gets on the national stage eventually. But I'm glad that he stays under the radar for now. And nobody fucks with him. Like, he just has something really good to combat. You know, and he challenged attorney general from Texas, that asshole. Had a proposal. I think you might cover it on your show. That if you have election fraud, you're going to get, if you come forward with election fraud evidence, I'll give you $1 million or whatever. You remember that? Something to that effect?
Yeah.
John
Fetterman claimed it. Yeah.
Fraud case. Yes, because there was a maggot who voted illegally or something like that. So, yeah, I'm glad to see somebody that actually stands up. Like, I want him in leadership eventually. And that's where I'm saying, like, the thing that I've actually been wanting to call in and tell you this for a while now. I don't see us having a healthy majority in the Senate, particularly with Chuck Schumer as the leader. Because I mean, I know he's starting to get a little better now, you know, but he's really going to have to step it up.
But he's never going to be anything, he's never going to be anything but Chuck Schumer.
Right.
And, I understand that, problem. but still, not having it. I'm sick, just sick of this country being run by a petty, pissant, vicious piece of shit senator who is only in office by virtue of a million or so votes.
Yeah, I know.
McConnell.
I actually called, yep. And you know, real quick, I actually called up his office. I was so mad at some of that one day, his Washington office, and luckily I got the voicemail. And I was screaming. I left a message reaming him out, calling him everything but a man. You know what I mean? And like, of course, I didn't make any threats or anything like that. But I wanted to. I really wanted to. I really do want that man dead, if that's what's going to stop him.
Yes, you want him to. You want him. You want him to pass away of natural causes, quickly.
Yes, of natural causes, Agent Fred. Agent Fred. These are my opinions, not Bob's. But no, yeah, I wouldn't be, yeah, natural causes, because if somebody, normally I wouldn't mind for a person like him to get harmed physically, but you know what? That doesn't help the cause at all. That makes it worse, way worse, especially with the terrible messaging.
Oh, no, no. What follows in the wake of political violence always brings something worse than whatever it was you thought you were getting rid of.
Yep. Yep, I agree with that. Yeah.
And that occurs on both sides of the political spectrum. You remember the Reagans continued on with a planned party even after John Kennedy had been assassinated. And Kennedy's murder brought us LBJ, and LBJ brought us the Great Society. And that made the Republicans howl with outrage. How dare the federal government actually give a damn about the citizens of this country? How dare they?
Right. I know. And was that fully implemented, the Great Society?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, the cornerstone of the Great Society was Medicare. And there were other aspects and elements to it as well. Housing help, things like that. And it just created horrible angst among the Republicans, seeing all those people getting all that money that Republicans damned well knew that needed to go to poor, starving CEOs.
So this has been going on for a long time, and I do remember my dad saying that his dad used to tell him, all Republicans are for the rich. My dad, that was when my dad was growing up. So this is not a new thing at all. Wow. I mean, I don't know how to stop it, man. I mean, it's really concerning. Like I'm seeing talks of basically civil war.
They're talking it openly. I mean, this is what they're talking about in walking in circles in D.C. is a prelude to them marching. I mean, for God's sakes, out in Placerville, California, the goddamn Proud Boys showed up and ruined a Toys for Tots event so that they could get their picture taken with Santa while they held up the white power hand gesture.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Oh, wow. They don't even pretend it to hide. They don't even try to hide.
No.
I expect them to Wow.
It's disgusting.
Nobody's doing anything to stop any of this. And it's getting to a boiling point. I was wondering, like, you know what? Like, nobody got out. The Trumpers didn't. I thought that, like, before Election Day, before we knew anything, before we knew anything, what was going to happen, I thought if Donald Trump loses, I mean, his people are going to be out on election night. And I was calling it the night of the long knives. Because I was just thinking they're going to get the long knives out. You know what I mean? Like, they're not playing around anymore. And they're going to, that might be off of something I heard before or something like that. But that's what I thought. And after that, a while, I thought, you know what? They didn't. Like, it's been a month and you're not seeing any violence. Not any.
Yeah, but
it hit me.
John,
it hit me, though.
Yeah,
it hit me.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I realized they are so delusional that they actually think that there's going to be a divine intervention and Trump's going to be in no matter what.
Yeah, that was what I was going to add to what you were saying. They haven't yet because they still think they're going to win. They think that Q the Supreme Court or I don't know, Jesus is going to come down in his holy rolls and make Donald Trump be president some more. But there was a really, chilling article at Politico by a reporter named Sierra O'Rourke about Hood County, Texas. Now it's near Hood County, Texas, John, is near Fort Worth. And it's very Republican and very white. And what Sierra O'Rourke found in her Politico article is that the Oath Keepers and other far-right far-right extremist groups have made significant inroads in infiltrating the county government of Hood County, Texas. Among other things, she describes a guy named John D. Shirley. And in Texas, they still have county constables. And John D. Shirley is the county constable for Hood County. And he is a sworn member of Oath Keepers. It was on August the 31st when John D. Shirley posted on Facebook of the mayor of Portland, Oregon, Ted Wheeler needs to be tried, convicted, and executed post-haste. He has blood on his hands, and it's time for justice. And he's been in the Oath Keepers for over a decade. He's on the board of directors of the Oath Keepers as its national peace officer liaison. Newly elected Justice of the Peace in Hood County is also a member of Oath Keepers and said that we're having a surgence here. And what Sierra O'Rourke writes is, what's happening in Hood County may represent a shift for a group that was once seen as a governmental antagonist, but is now establishing itself inside the halls of the elected officialdom. And it's setting up potentially dangerous conflicts between officials with different ideas of what constitutes legitimate government authority. And so they're the ones that have been howling about how there's going to be a civil war if Donald Trump doesn't get to keep president. This is from an Oath Keeper email. Our POTUS will not go down without a fight. He will not concede. This election was stolen from we the people. We will prevail, but we need your help. You notice how all of a sudden people like you, John, and me, and the Horn Community Family Community Congregation, we're not part of we the people. You're only we the people if you're a maggot.
Right, and I always say that, look, when Trump says things like, this is a terrible for our country, in his puny brain, he thinks that America is him. Like, he thinks that he's royalty, like he's been, like, I guess, just treated like royalty his whole life. He is persistent. That's the only way he has ever gotten any woman to get into a bed with him. Because he bugged the living, he badgered them until they just said fine, just to get his dumb ass off her back. And then they realized, oh, maybe he does have maybe some sort of walking around cash. Of course, it's all stolen, and that's probably why they were with him to begin with. A and B, I mean, he just thinks that he's royalty. I knew that when he was going, when he became president or whatever you want to call it. I knew that he actually was going to try to set up some sort of at least a de facto monarchy, or some sort of dynasty on steroids. You know what I mean? And I told all my family thought I was nuts before the election. They thought I was like super cynical and hair on fire, hysterical, whatever you want to call it.
Turned out you were just a realist.
After the election, my aunt, who of course always votes for the Democratic president, I mean, she's been talking like she's been watching Fox News or something sometimes, but she probably isn't, but she's getting older and I feel like she's getting a little more conservative, but she hates Trump and all that. I know that she voted for Biden and everything. And she said, you were saying that he was never going to leave if he got a second term, that he would be king. And she's like, and now I'm starting to think you were right. I said that if he were to get the second term, we would have never gotten rid of Trumps. And we would have had some Trump or another in office. They would have had 4 more years to rig everything, to brainwash everybody, to budge numbers, to make him look good, to make the Trumps look good. And that's the only reason why he gained a little more votes, man. He's been campaigning since the day he won the election in 2016. He never stopped campaigning.
They filed the paperwork for his reelection campaign on Inauguration Day 2017.
Right. I remember that struck me as being indicative of how he is. And that's why every single time all the executive orders, like the media really didn't follow up on some of this stuff. I remember back in October, he signed an executive order to lower drug prices, you know, right? Well, I thought, wow, that sounds very familiar. And I looked at, and so that, you know, the media comes out with an article. President Trump signs executive order for lowering drug prices. And of course they go for the photo op and all that shit. And it struck me like, you know, this looks a little familiar. And I type in, you know, executive order on drug prices. And sure enough, there's an article from 6 months ago talking about how he signed executive order. Why? Because he kept signing these things like three times in the past, like year, I think it was, he signed like three of these things. So like, obviously if you sign the same thing over and over again, that it's pretty fake. You know, and I think it's a little lazy that the media didn't like pick up on it. Like, somebody didn't put up a red flag and say, hey, this is a little familiar. Didn't we put, you know, didn't we go to this type of event? Like, isn't this deja vu? Like, I don't know, Bob, what's going on?
This isn't just theater. I know that much. And there is such a thing within the realms of behavioral health as shared mass psychosis. And I think, you know, like what I was saying earlier about, you know, a family who has mental illness or a member of a family who has mental illness, that it will take a toll on the other members of the family who don't. Well, I think. I didn't mean to. I didn't know this is the way the conversation was going to turn. But that's what we're dealing with here. Our country has a significant number of people who are suffering under a mass shared delusional disorder. It's called Trumpism or MAGA-try. And they're... shared delusional disorder is taking a toll on those of us who are not part of their delusion, but have to live with them nonetheless. Just as a further example from that Politico article I was telling you about by Sierra O'Reilly this past November 7th, you know, a little over a month and 2 days ago, this Hood County Constable Shirley turned the caps lock on and went to Facebook and wrote, "No whining, no crying, no pearl clutching. Donald Trump won the election. You can feel it in your bones." You know, in your heart, you know he's right, but in your guts, you know he's nuts. "You can feel it in your bones. This was taken from us illegally. The only way we lose is if we don't fight. Leave it all on the field. It's time to separate the winter soldiers from the sunshine patriots."
See?
These fuckers are looking for a reason to start shooting.
I know.
And a lot of it has to do, John, with the stochastic terrorism in which Donald Trump has been engaging for 4 years. He's been trying to set up this scenario. He's desperately afraid. Various state attorneys general have begun focusing on his skeevy business activities. And the minute he's not president anymore, he's got a problem. Or maybe more accurately put, he's got a lot of problems.
Yeah, I hope so. Because somebody better prosecute his ass.
Well,
and, you know, the stochastic terrorism thing. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to point out that the Attorney General of New York, Letitia James, was on The View. And while Joe Manchin was on The View a few days ago and they threw softballs at him, Letitia James brought the heat. And in fact, let me see if I can find the clip here. Just take a second. Here's Letitia James on The View.
"Mention of our next guest must strike fear in the heart of you-know-who right now. Because after shutting down his foundation and filing nearly 70...
Can you hear that, John? John, can you hear that? John?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
I just wanted to make sure you could. Whoopi's introducing Letitia James. James,
Letitia, welcome to the show. Welcome to The View.
Thank you. Good morning. And thank you for having me.
We are thrilled. Now, you know who may be working so hard to stay in the White House because he knows he's going to have to be facing a mountain of legal problems once he leaves, including your investigation into his business practices. So please give us the tea. Tell us everything you could tell us within, you know, legal boundaries, because you can't tell us everything. But is this a lot of work, you think, for you?
So let me just say that I'm an independently elected official in New York, and the investigation that we are ongoing is as a result of the testimony of Michael Cohen before Congress. And in that, Michael Cohen testified that, in fact, the financial statements of the Trump Organization include information that the president, as well as some of his children, perhaps inflated his assets so that they can get financial terms for loans and for insurance coverage. In addition to that, they deflated those same assets for the purposes of evading and or avoiding tax liability. Our investigation is ongoing. Mm-hmm. It is a civil investigation in nature. However, there is a criminal investigation that's currently being conducted by the Manhattan District Attorney, Cy Vance. And there is also another civil investigation that is currently being conducted by my colleague and friend from the District Attorney, Attorney General Carl Racine. Our information, we're in the midst of taking testimony. And as you know, as has been publicly reported, we sought the testimony of Eric Trump. And we filed and served subpoenas upon him. And as you know, during the campaign season, unfortunately, he failed to comply with our subpoenas, and we had to file a motion to compel his testimony. And he objected. Wow. We went into court. We were successful because right. our powers in the Office of Attorney General are broad. And he came in to testify. The fact that Mr. Trump is the president of the United States has no bearing on our investigation. And in fact, the election right. really has no bearing on our investigation. We will continue our investigation, okay. whether he's president or not.
Well, speaking of President Trump, he's reportedly about to go on a pardon blitz, and he may try to preemptively pardon himself, which is totally unprecedented. So let's start with this. Can he even do that based on your legal expertise?
So he can preemptively pardon individuals. And the vast majority of legal scholars have indicated that he cannot pardon himself. What he could do is step down and allow the Vice President Pence, to pardon him. In all likelihood, I suspect that he will pardon his family members, his children, his son-in-law, and individuals in his administration, as well as some of his close associates. And then I suspect at some point in time, he will step down and allow the Vice President to pardon him. Now, it's important to understand he is pardoned from federal crimes, but he is not pardoned from state crimes. Last year, I introduced a bill in the state legislature, which would close the pardon loophole so that individuals such as the President of the United States would not evade justice. It's important that we have this check on presidential powers. And in the legislature, the state legislature, I'm so happy they passed that bill, and it is now the law in the state of New York. President Trump cannot avoid justice in the great state of New York.
So just to reiterate, there's no way a potential pardon for Trump or his three eldest kids would shield them from anything you're investigating. Am I right? That's what you just
Correct.
Said, I believe.
Correct.
What's curious there, John, is that she's saying something that we predicted long ago on this program, years ago, that realistically the only way for him to evade and stay out of the federal stir is for him to resign and have Pence pardon him. I'm pretty sure you've heard that said a long time ago, but it's nice to have it sort of confirmed by a legal mind like that of Letitia James.
Sure. Oh, I've heard you. Yeah, I've heard many discussions with you and Steve and Rick and many others. Even Darlene, I believe, was in on discussions like that. And at the time, I really thought this is really putting the cart before the horse. You know what I mean? But it's just amazing in retrospect how basically dead on y'all you guys pretty much were. You know, it's like it's really amazing. And I guess that's why I've been listening to this program for like 4 years now straight. I don't think I ever missed a program actually now. And I've just you're the only one that I've been listening to consistently because of things like that. Because I'm already on top of it, and sometimes that makes me look smart to other people. That's smarter than what I am because I tell.
Well,
it's cool.
Well, I tell you what, I'm glad you've been there, and I hope that we can continue to stay out in front of the curve. Now, when does this happen? I'm guessing right at the very end. He'll contest the election, never concede, up to the very moment that he's about to not be president anymore. When everything else has failed, then he will step down. The only thing that I'm having a hard time fathoming or sort of figuring what it's going to be like is what will the resignation letter say?
Probably won't be one.
Well, he has to announce it. He has to say, I'm fired or I quit or, the voters have spoken, fucking, something like that.
There's got to be some sort of proclamation or something, I'm sure. Yeah. I've wondered about that too, and the timing of it. I mean, it still may not happen. I mean, like, I think he might commit suicide. You know what I'm saying? Like, you never know. Like,
nah, he's too much of a chicken shit for that.
Yeah, I guess so.
Recall some time back I talked about Shakespeare saying that a hero dies but once, but a coward dies a thousand deaths. What Shakespeare was talking about in that regard is that a coward fears it such that he winds up thinking about it constantly. And one of the primary components of the character of Donald Trump is fear, and probably has been since his childhood.
Well, do you think that that's what he used? He didn't seem afraid to go out and basically start effectively what he has done is all but started a freaking civil war. He didn't seem afraid to do that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not disputing what you're saying. I totally agree with that. I'm just saying, like, for himself, when it comes to his own stuff, like, yeah, if somebody like you or I, and I'm smaller, probably a smaller in stature guy than you are, you know, I'm like 5'7", you know, like you or I walked, like raised our fist at him and nobody's Secret Service and nobody else was around, yes, he would cower for sure.
I feel confident that he was probably slapped around by his father. Because, of course, there's that story of when Don Jr. was in college and he was all excited because daddy was going to take him to a Yankees game. And he showed up at his dorm and his dorm roommate told the story. And there was Jr. And, you know, they're such odious people. It's hard to come up with sympathy. But I think this is one of the moments where I can feel sorry, because child abuse is child abuse. And so he's all eager and excited. His father, who doesn't pay shit for attention to him, shows up and he's going to take him to a ball game. And so he's there with all his gear on. He's got his cap and he's got his shirt and he's ready to go to the ball game. And the first thing that Donald Trump does is just slap the living shit out of Don Jr. and says, "Take that crap off and put on a suit. Look like somebody."
Oh, wow.
I mean, the depth of the psychological damage, John.
I know. I mean,
We're talking about Don. We're talking about Don Jr., who is second in assholery only to his asshole father, and yet I recount that story, and it makes me sad.
Yeah, if you really think the way you explain it, yeah, like when I heard the story, I thought, oh, no big deal. But like, no, when you think about, yeah, if you really think about that, like his dad would have been, because Trump would have been, Trump Sr. would have been embarrassed by him, I guess. Like, you see how like putrid, like, how unappreciative of American culture he is, except for like the business, like sociopath culture part, you know, like that's sort of a function of that, I think, you know?
Well, Ralph's, Ralph says that if he resigns, he'll do it by Twitter. That seems to make sense.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And Lee in New York said the same thing. If he resigns, it could only be by tweet. Because that saves him from having to do much in the way of explaining. He's only got 140 characters to deal with.
Yep. And he can just get out of
the deep. The deep state is after me. I have to resign.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, but they're just going to go.
As a resigned, disgraced president, he wouldn't have to show up at the inauguration, which he's already said he's not going to do. He claims he's going to jump on Mar-a-Lago, or jump on Air Force One, fly to Mar-a-Lago, and that same day, at the same time that Joe Biden's being inaugurated, he's going to hold a MAGA rally down there to announce his 2024 presidential campaign.
Yep. Oh my God, man, so putrid and petty, so petty. I mean, and it's like, you know, back real quick about the act of terrorism. Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman, this could go in tandem with what you're saying here. But like John Fetterman, he posted a quote from the Republican state Senate majority leader, Kim Ward, and about signing a paper, I'm trying to think of what the context is of the paper, what she wanted to sign, but she's talking about signing something about Trump. He called her in the Speaker of the House, just like he did with the Michigan ones. And by the way, I didn't know that the Republican Party is letting 12-year-olds be Speaker of the House. Holy mackerel, that dude's young, 33 years old.
Has his voice changed yet?
I hear he's somewhat decent. Like, if you look at his background, I did look at his background too. And apparently, like, the Democrats in there say, like, oh, no, he's not that bad. You know,
he's not old enough to have fully embraced the full spectrum of maggot assholery.
Yes. Well, also, I heard this about Ron DeSantis from Democrats in Florida like a year ago. They don't feel the same way anymore. But like, he was a school teacher, I think. So that background kind of, I guess, softens the blow of having a Republican. I don't know. You have to check with the contingent in Michigan about that one. But anyway, I digress. But you know, he was calling this, you know, our legislature. On congressional leadership, which of course is Republican, and Kim Ward, who just became state senate majority leader, she said, asked if she would sign it. Again, I'm not sure what they mean by that. It's cut off. And she says asked if she would have signed it. She indicated that the Republican base expected party leaders to back up Mr. Trump's claims or face its wrath. And here's a quote from her, quote, "If I would say to you, I don't want to do it," unquote, she said about signing the letter. And then another quote, "I'd get my house bombed tonight," unquote. This is the Senate Republican majority there. She's not talking about buying supporters here. You know what I mean? Like, the Republicans know. They know the base. And they would rather face a bunch of picketing liberals outside of, like, their Senate offices because they got a presidency stolen from them in their minds. This is what they think. You know, they'd rather deal with that than deal with this crap, like deal, like getting, worrying about getting their house bombed. So they're going to go along. So some of them might go along with it, you know, because they're scared. Fear, like you said earlier, fear drives it. You know what I mean? And Trump, like, and I guess, and here's where Trump instills that fear, you know? And so he basically feels fear or has fear of his own and probably projects it onto others. And well, I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, but you know, that's chilling right there. That fact, that's what's why the Republicans are going along with it, because they think in their minds that they'd rather deal with upset liberals. And basically it's almost sort of a compliment in a sense. It's like they know that we're sane. You know, they're like, no, we'd rather deal with angry sane people than angry insane people.
Right.
That's,
well, because
what they're thinking.
Yeah, because the maggots, and this operates in their favor. You can't tell what they're going to do next, and that makes them dangerous. Remember the scene in Bull Durham when Kevin Costner goes out and tells young Nuke LaLoosh to throw a wild pitch, and he you know, beans the Durham Bull mascot in the head, and he looks
Nobody
at the
beans it again.
Bull Durham.
And, I've never seen it. Should I see it?
Oh yeah, yeah, it's a good movie.
Should I watch it?
I mean, it's got Susan Sarandon in it, but that's, well, you got to just kind of get past that. But he looks at the batter and says, "God, you know, you never know where the ball's going to go with this kid. He's wild. He's you know, wild as a colt." And so then he just blazes one right down the plate, and you know, and the guy strikes out looking. Well, that's the maggots.
Oh, okay.
You know, they're so nutty, and they buy into so much absolute weirdness, John, that you don't know what's coming next. I mean, I got a story out of Idaho. Okay, now I guess there's three or four Democrats in Idaho, but mostly it's a deep blood red maggot state. And the a county commissioner for Ada County, Idaho, named Diana Lachiando, she had to bail out of a Board of Health meeting yesterday because she found out that her house was surrounded by maggot crazies. And she said, "My 12-year-old son is home by himself right now, and there are protesters banging outside the door." That's what she said as she left the meeting.
God.
And then she started tweeting. Her two young sons and her mother were all at home. And she said, "There is an ugliness and cruelty in our national rhetoric that is reaching a fevered pitch here at home, and that should worry us all. And above all, I'm terrified about the virus's current trajectory. I'm calling on Republican leaders who have politicized public health, who have amplified rhetoric, capitalized on it, tacitly endorsed it, while holding hands with the most extreme factions in their party. Take a hard look at what you've become. It's far past time to do better." She said, Our federal and state officials have consistently failed to provide the kind of leadership needed in this moment of crisis. Those responsibilities have fallen on local leaders, health board members, and public health employees. As they've accepted that responsibility, stepping up to make tough calls in the interest of public health, they've paid a heavy price. The scrutiny, intimidation, harassment, and threats have taken a toll on us all, myself included. Armed protesters. During last night's Board of Health meeting, armed protesters once again assembled outside my home, yelling, banging, firing air horns, amplifying sound clips from Scarface, accusing me of tyranny and cowering inside. I wasn't actually inside the house. I was calling in from my office at the Ada County Courthouse, but my two young sons and my mother, who was out taking our dog on a short walk, were. And as many of you saw last night, my son called me in tears at the beginning of the meeting. "I'm sad. I'm tired. I fear that in my choosing to hold public office, my family has too often paid the price. Though I was born and raised in Idaho, I increasingly don't recognize this place."
Is she Republican?
Apparently not. She refers to Republicans as their party, so I'm guessing she's a Democrat. But earlier today, she said, "This morning I'm calling on Governor Little to act boldly and with conviction. We cannot patchwork together orders from health districts and cities. 1,000-plus Idahoans have lost their lives to this virus, and our hospitals are on the brink. Rise to the moment and lead, Governor."
I hope this went viral. I'm assuming it probably did, since, like, you were in West Virginia.
It made it out. But, you know, that's just one example.
Yeah, I know. Like, dude, I'm telling you, man. We might be looking down a barrel. We may or may not. I don't want to sound fear, because I know, like, I kind of called in before the election and I was frustrated and said, "Oh my God, Trump's going to win." Just because, like, all the stunts, and I know that people, like, get watered down by all the, like, "Oh, maybe he is doing some good." You know what I mean? Like, that kind of stuff. I heard a lot of that shit. But anyway, like, I don't want to sound like fear-mongery, but, man, like, we could be looking at some absolute hell. You know what I mean? Like I'm sort of scared. I mean, like, I'm around these people. They seem fine. Like, when I talk to them, they know I'm against Trump, and they seem fine to me. I will say that. But we don't. That doesn't mean anything, you know.
But it's not. It is not, of course, confined only to the United States. You know, the UK has begun vaccinating its most vulnerable and its healthcare providers. So the first person to get the vaccine in England was 90-year-old Margaret Keenan. They're giving out 800,000 doses of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. And a 90-year-old woman has been attacked by the anti-vaxxers and the, you know, the proto-fascists. And Shayan Sardazadeh tweeted, "Margaret Keenan, 90, born in Enniskillen and living in Coventry, became the first person to receive a COVID vaccine today. Anti-vaxxers have been spreading conspiracies about her ever since. She actually died in 2008, and the one who was vaccinated today was a crisis actor. Curious why Sky News cut away within seconds of this Margaret taking the very first COVID vaccine? This is why. Wakey, wakey, people!"
No way. Oh, fuck. This is in UK?
Yeah.
I hate to say it,
they have accused her of giving a Freemason hand gesture. She's a Freemason lady.
Oh, wow.
She's a member of the Illuminati. And she was just sitting.
Wow,
she was just sitting with her fingertips touching.
And you know, I hate to admit that, like, I'm not surprised at all. You know, like, it's how crazy things have been. You know, and to hear that, it's terrible. You know, I mean, like, I just feel so bad. It really does make me sad. Like, just to look around and see this crap going on, to see all the innocent people like her have to get harassed and harangued by just a bunch of freaking absolute lunatic nut bags. And that's where, like, I disagree with my lieutenant governor when he says that the snake, when he talked, you talked about how you said about snake, their snake handlers and stuff.
Yeah.
And you were saying how funny, like, yeah, well, like, the only thing I disagree with, he says that this is the lunatic fringe. He says it's not, though.
The numbers for the United States right now, according to polling data, and I think I saw this from the Associated Press, roughly half of people in the United States say they would be willing to take the vaccine. Well, if that's the case, then the vaccine becomes worthless. Because they've been braying and braying about, "We got to have herd immunity." Well, the only way you can have herd immunity is if you have a vaccine. And in order to achieve herd immunity, you have to have a vaccination rate north of 90%. Not an effectiveness rate, but a vaccination rate.
90%. Wow. I think most people will. like that I do have some faith in, because I think it'll be a bandwagon thing.
Well, I mean,
you know,
yeah, but how many? Just one question. I mean, I hope you're right. But how many people attend these evangelical mega churches that are actively preaching, don't wear a mask and don't get the vaccination because they're gonna put a barcode inside your body that probably has 666 on it?
Probably millions, right?
Yes,
millions of people. Yeah, I'm hoping that it's not a significant. I'm hoping it's not enough to even make a difference. But maybe it is. I mean, you would know. I mean, you are on the religion beat for a while now, you know. And
well, that's so, what scares me. That's what scares me, is that I do follow this stuff and I do know how nuts this country is.
I never realized it until I started listening to you and Mike Malloy. You know, I was like, oh my. And Facebook is what made it explode. Like, that's what carried all the other bullshit and propaganda.
Oh, I got another story. Another story out of Texas. A woman developed a huge and unsightly blister and had extreme pain in both of her heels. I mean, it was nasty looking. And because she had medical bills, her sister innocently set up a GoFundMe page so that she could raise money for the treatment of her ailment. And nobody knew what it was from. She wasn't diabetic or anything like that. And they couldn't figure out what was wrong. Well, in setting up the GoFundMe page, the sister pointed out that she had participated in one of the vaccine trials. And bang! All of a sudden, the anti-vaxxers picked it up, amplified it. There were probably some Russian bots involved. And the thing just blew up. People, anti-vaxxers attacked her for participating in the trials, claimed that the vaccine caused her foot ailment, none of which was ever intended by her sister setting up the GoFundMe account. And then it turned out, yeah, she had participated in a vaccine trial. But breaking their own protocols, the vaccine, the manufacturer, it was one of those double-blind studies where some people get, it's how you test the effectiveness. Some people get the vaccine, others get a placebo. Oh, dude, you want to do something?
Oh, I'm not familiar.
Okay.
I'm not familiar.
I mean, a placebo, of course, is, you know, I mean, it's like, oh, dude, let's do some placebos. No. In her case, she was getting a little injection of sterile salt water. Okay. And that sterile salt water did not cause her foot problem. They still don't know what caused her foot problem, but the thing just blew up all over the place with anti-vaxxers hopping up and down and hooting and grunting. And you know, you still want to take the vaccine, with a picture of a grotesque picture of her foot taken from the GoFundMe page.
I did see that an article that said, of like an op-ed that says something like how my foot got, I put something about foot in vaccines. Yeah. All right. Yep. Okay. I didn't read it, but all right. So yeah, I know what you're talking about now. Wow. Wow.
That's the kind of shit, John, that will cause us to continue to be tormented and killed by this goddamn virus, because the anti-vaxxer COVIDiots, they're not going to die in sufficient numbers to kill their own movement. I'm not wishing that they would, but their idiocy is going to continue to be mortal for the rest of us. Mike in Cascadia with a note wants to know, can you repeat the Idaho name? Ada County, Idaho. And her name
Let me look here and see if I can find out. Let's see. Oh, okay. So, if you just look up Ada County, Idaho, or okay, Ada County is Boise. Boise Health Board meeting halted after intense protest at homes of commissioners. And this one's accompanied by a photograph, and goddamn, there's hundreds of people. 400 mask whole COVIDiots at the Central District Health offices holding up signs that mandates have not stopped the spread. Try liberty instead. Sit, liberty, sit. Woof. No muzzles. And her name again is Diana Lachiondo, L-A-C-H-I-O-N-D-O. She was weeping when she left the meeting. So again,
I'm scared that people are going to, like her, are going to just say, fuck it, I'm not going to do this. It's not
worth
people, it.
Well, people have done that.
Shit crazy.
The state health director in Ohio said, fuck it. You know, after the Nazis started marching up and down with guns outside her house.
Right. And they're never going to, like, I saw that somebody, I don't think it's going to work. Like, I think it's still going to do it. There's still going to be lunatics that are going to go there and know where they live. They're going to, it's sort of moving. They're going to keep doing it. I think I'm afraid, you know, it, like unless they move, and this is a big problem. I'm afraid that we might have to deal with for a while. You know what I mean? These crazy people that it's a lot of people. Like out here in Pennsylvania, it's like so many people. It's rare for me to find, you know, in my social, like where I work at, you know what I mean? Like I live rural PA and like it's where I work at, it's a like a industrial thing. So a lot of people would likely be Republican in where I work, which I think sucks because like the people like that, the Democrats used to have the majority of those, but you know, I guess a lot of people just turned right wing in like the industry, you know what I mean? Not to get off on a tangent, but I don't know, man. Things might not turn out bad though. So we got to keep that in mind. Like everything might work out pretty good. Maybe
you're right. He may just go quietly into that good night. But I don't see how, and I'm with Letitia James on this. I don't see how he does it without having some sort of protection against federal prosecution. Because even if Joe Biden was to call him and say, listen, Don, I mean, you know, I don't want to see you prosecuted. I'll tell my attorney general to lay the hell off. He wouldn't believe him. And in fact, it's already being said that there will be a litmus test inside the United States Senate whereby any attorney general nominee of Biden must promise, cross your heart and hope to die, that they will not prosecute, they will not allow to be prosecuted, Donald J. Trump or any member of his family by the federal government.
Oh, sure, Senator, I promise. Yeah, right. I would be like, I promise. Seriously.
Well, I think what would be hilarious would be for the nominee to say, well, you know, Senator, I'd like to quote the words famously uttered by Amy Covid Barrett. I ain't going to answer your question.
Oh, no. I didn't know she said. Did she say that?
No, she just, no. But everything, every Democrat that asked a question, she couldn't answer that question because it would call upon her to offer an opinion on something that might eventually come before the Supreme Court. You know, even if it was, hey, do you think Dred Scott was wrongly decided? Well, you know, I don't know, Senator. I can't offer an opinion on that because, well, you know, we may have to deal with slavery again someday, hopefully. Because remember, she's a handmaid.
Wow.
She's a handmaid.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, she's not good at all. That's a bad, bad. All three of them. I mean, they're illegitimate. Like, start with Gorsuch, you know, being in that stolen seat because Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
I was calling him a tyrant back then, 2016. I was like, Mitch McConnell, before I was listening to this program, I was saying how Mitch McConnell's a tyrant over that. You know, and I hate that man. Like, you know, it's because I know what the suffering he's doing because I think he's sadistic, Bob. I think that he actually like gets off on it, you know, and it's not just a matter of like, oh, I'm just being political. No, I think that he actually like enjoys watching the country suffer at his whim.
You are obviously under a mistaken impression that I care.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, the ultimate irony to some of this, and it's obscene, as a matter of fact, we're this group of bipartisan centrists, including Joe Manchin and noted Maine centrist Republican Susan Collins. They've been pitching this $908 billion relief package. But as I noted previously,
it's terrible.
Yeah, it's awful. It doesn't do nothing. It does next to nothing. Because as previously noted, there's no $1,200 checks. But Kevin McCarthy in the House and some maggot in the Senate have said, well, we might be willing to think about a single $600 payment. Jesus. And of course they're Christian. And of course they're Christians. Right. Well, it turns out there's even more awfulness. Because this $908 billion package, according to an article in Huffington Post, says that the paid family sick leave is allowed to expire in this. So people will have to go to work even if they're sick or if they think they might have been exposed. They have to go and expose people in their workplace because there's no paid family sick leave.
So why did he even know that?
Yeah, and the, you know, almost all the unemployment is gone at the end of the week.
And I think they're offering, what, $300 or something like that?
It's pathetic, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like it's
and it's not and what they're offering isn't even retroactive. It doesn't go back.
Sure.
It doesn't look back, and it doesn't provide for, you know, what they've missed out on. It's
suck at economics, you know it. Well, I mean, like you said before, like that would be nothing better for the economy. I guess, well, now that Joe Biden's going to be president, which of course they won't acknowledge, but they know he is, but. I guess, you know, but they don't want him to have a good economy. But, I mean, like, for the business owners, they should be getting on the Republican Senate and saying, hey, it's in our best interest if you give them money so that we can make money. I don't get it.
Right.
I guess, like I said before,
but first and foremost, Mitch McConnell is out there banging the drum. For what? Yeah, to make sure that nobody can sue a negligent business that gets somebody sick.
That's right. Yeah, I was just about to bring that up too. When you were saying about how there's no paid sick leave, you know, that goes hand in hand. That's pretty much coupled with it, probably. You know, I know I'm pretty cynical
about the. You know, the only thing that really could help in all of this would be a nationwide general strike.
But it would never happen, though, because, like, people that I work with, for example, they all live in this deluded, you know, fantasy world of theirs that Donald Trump won by a landslide and that Joe Biden stole the election. Like, people that I work with, and we work hard, and we work for a major, like, we're a subcontractor for a major corporation, you know, that makes tractors. I'm not going to say which one because I don't want to lose my job.
Sure, I understand. Or, you know. I understand, yeah.
Of course, nobody, like, isn't going to be listening to this, but, you know, just...
Oh, nobody listens, and nobody ever listens to this program, and there's nothing to really worry about.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean, though? Like, the freaking bigwigs at that corporation probably aren't members of the corn community, or else they wouldn't be, you know, sociopaths like that. But we basically have 70% of our business is coming from this place. I just got moved to a new job that they're trying to take on that's local, though, that's in Pennsylvania. Not to go off on a side thing. But, yeah, I mean, oh, crap, I just lost my train of thought.
Well, you were talking about him. You know, Donald Trump won by a landslide. Makes you want to do some serious, you know, fourth grade word problems with them. You take 10 apples and you put 7 apples on one or 6 apples on one side and 4 apples on the other and say, which one's more apples? And the maggots will go, 4 is more apples than 6.
Well, right.
And there we have it.
Like, they're happy to work for the crap wages that this corporation that are, says 70%, because we're actually an employee owned company. So it's nice with perks and stuff, like the perks being like nobody really cares. Like, you know, you can be on your phone, like no place I've ever been at. If you're on your phone, you pretty much get fired or whatever, get yelled at. You know, this place, they don't really do that. Because like we're all employee owners basically, but like really we're not, because this corporation owns our assets, but they, because of that, they can't pay us that much money. And because we're non-union, that's why they go through us. So if we unionized anyway, they would drop us as a business and we'd shut down. So that's one reason why we can't do it at where I work. But like, that's the mentality everywhere. Like union people, man, they're like they're maggots, man. Like they're Republicans now. Like we got to get a lot of those people back somehow, because that's what worries me. That's why we can't have a general strike. I feel like, you know what I'm saying? Like that,
because they won't, because those workers won't come out.
Exactly. And they won't shut, they won't stop. You know what I mean? They won't stop because they're afraid or to lose their jobs permanently and things like that. I mean, I could like general strike, like for the union shops, all the union shops that are protected by the, you know, under the AFL-CIO. Yeah, they should do it, but the non-union people aren't going to do it. It's weird how like how gung ho people are to make shit wages. Like,
well, but let me ask you this. I don't want you to give anything away. But have you had anybody in your workplace with family members that got it? The Rona?
I did work with a guy who's a maggot who got it, him and his wife got it. I think they got some symptoms from it, light symptoms. Not really, though, because that is something that they are really big into, like, stopping it in its tracks. Like, they tell them, like, hey, if you come in contact with somebody you think you did, you need a quarantine for 2 weeks, but we'll pay you, or something like that. I think. And, I'm trying to think, I think I heard that there's one other person that might've gotten, that had it in their family. But I'm sorry. There is one guy who told me that this guy's a Trump supporter too, and doesn't believe in wearing masks or anything. And he said that his older sister got it and died, and her husband got it and died. And for some crazy reason, he still, like, I kind of just brushed it off, I guess. It's weird, Bob. I don't know how I'm forgetting about that. But, yeah, that was a couple of months ago. Back in the summer, that guy told me about that. Can you believe that? His sister.
Jesus.
And that's for real, man. Yeah. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand it. They think that the masks don't work and all that shit. And I don't know. I don't know what to do about these people. Like, imagine if we have, and I'm not saying the coronavirus or that COVID isn't bad, but can you imagine if we had something like the 1918 thing? You know what I mean? I know that this is probably
that's the problem, John. We're getting there. The Washington Post, and thanks to Lou and Dave, Lou in PA and David in South Carolina, Stan, for sharing this along. As of today, we have passed a brand new heartbreaking record. We had more than 3,000 deaths in a single day, and that's the new high. And the thing is, that record won't stand for very long.
It's going to go up to five.
Because these are you know, it's the 9th day of December. Thanksgiving was, what, the 26th? So 13 days, 14 days, 2 weeks. This is the Thanksgiving window opening up and vomiting out death. And soon, as of, you know, December 25th, then in about January 7th, we'll get the Christmas window. And that may be even worse. And that's the 7th.
Oh, man.
And there's still 2 weeks to go before Joe Biden gets to start doing anything. This is existentially exhausting and terrifying. And I understand everyone's fears. I feel them, too. I mean, my little state and my little county is red. And we have more new cases every day. And on top of it all, several people wrote last night to see if we were okay. Down the mountain from me, about a half an hour from here as you drive, there's a DuPont plant that is now owned by Chemours. And they had an explosion last night. And down in the upper end of the Kanawha Valley, they had a shelter-in-place order for hours because some dry chlorine bleach at this chemical plant was ignited by methanol, you know, wood alcohol.
I heard on the radio. I heard on the radio this on yesterday morning, I think, or this morning. I'm sorry.
And what was morning. And what was scary is the fact that the winds carry whatever happens down there straight up the new river, straight up the Kanawha Valley, and straight up the new river to us.
Oh no!
Mercifully, it wasn't as bad as what it could have been, but that's this time. And so, you know, people were told to shelter in place, do not go outside, do not turn on your central air, your central heat. People had to turn their heat off in the dead in the dead cold of almost winter.
Oh no!
And so
not
it was,
even electric heater or anything.
Anything that pulls air.
Okay. I have a heater. It's electric, but looks like a radiator here. It's like an oil.
Yeah, that doesn't involve the air being sucked and blown.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like my little propane heater here in the studio. But that was terrifying. I mean, and it's scary. So you know, I'm not trying to fearmonger. I'm trying to sympathize and empathize. And that's what I said at the beginning of all this. We want everybody to stay safe and stay healthy, and we will use this platform to keep ourselves sane to the extent humanly possible. And I hope we've been doing that. By the way, I need to send out some thank yous. Thank you very kindly to Joey and Giraffe. They took the When Donnie Chooses, You Loses challenge down to $50. And then Earther jumped in and took it down to,
$36. So thank you both very kindly. There's $36 to go on that challenge, and that would take us down to, well, that would get Monday and part of yesterday funded, so that it's not quite so terrifying for Thorn in the Side Thursday. But we need $36 to qualify for that challenge, and then hopefully we'll start moving from there. But thank you. Thank you to everyone who's jumped in this evening. Thank you very kindly. John, it has been a great conversation. I've enjoyed it. I'm glad you got a chance to call in, man.
Hell yeah. Yeah, me too. I hope I get more.
If you're not at work, pop by on the front porch.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, for a while, I'll be on first shift for a while, so I'll have Fridays off for, you know, a couple weeks. I don't know how much longer, but yeah. So, yeah, for sure, man, I'll pop in. Yeah, I'm so glad I could call in.
Well, it is much appreciated. You take care, John. Stay safe. I mean, it's kind of like
you too, Bobby.
Kind of like here, you know, you're surrounded by dangerous people who don't even realize how dangerous they are.
I know.
I mean, what you said was absolutely true. Imagine if this was Ebola.
Yes, stuff like that. Yeah, because they just don't care. It's chilling how they brush off death.
Well, I guess it's because they're all going to heaven anyway, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Which I had real quick. I had a guy that I was friends with on Facebook. One time, I had a post that, you know, criticizing Trump and whatever, and he messaged me personally on Facebook talking about how the world, if this is the end times and that, you know, stuff like that. How like I'm like going to go to hell if I don't support Trump and stupid shit. So, yeah.
God.
Anyway,
the fools, the mad fools. Yeah. John, stay safe, my friend. Good to hear from you.
All right. You too. You too.
Take care. Bye now. Our buddy John calling from Central PA. A little update from our buddy Ron in the far frozen north in Canada. He said Canada approved the Pfizer vaccine today, and the Moderna vaccine should be approved by this time next week. The first shipment arrives on Friday, and vaccinations start on Monday for frontline health workers and long-term care facilities. 3 million vaccinations given by the end of March, with vulnerable groups given priority, including senior citizens over the age of 70. Ron notes, I may be able to go to West Virginia by next summer. Between now and then, we will continue to hunker down and be careful. And Canada will. And they will watch the horror that takes place here. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus wept. Yeah, prayer, because prayer meeting Wednesday. Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy in Vermont just jumped back in. So now we are at $30 to go on the When Donnie Chooses, You Lose His challenge. And thank you, Mark. Mark just jumped in. We got $5 to go on When Donnie Chooses, You Lose His challenge. $5. And that'll take us down to... what was it? Trying to think here. 585 or something like that. But thank you very kindly, Mark. Thank you indeed. And since we had an Idaho story earlier, let's go back to Idaho for a minute. Thank you, Scott in San Diego. Scott just... finished off the When Donnie Chooses, You Lose His challenge. Thank you very much, Scott. And now we'll head on down for the rest of it. So I feel like I'm screwing up the math, but we're into funding yesterday. Let's put it that way. And that's a big help. So thank you for our anonymous challenge, and thanks to those of you who met it. Thank you so much. Back to Idaho, where ammonium nitrate Bundy, Ammon Bundy, I mean, went to court because he was arrested back when they engaged in a terrorist attack against the Idaho legislature. He was arrested on August the 25th of this year. Pitiful little attention whore. No slur intended against workers in the sex trade. He was arrested twice in 2 days and is still grunting and barking and hooting about how he didn't do nothing wrong. Yeah. He made a motion in court yesterday. He wants an in-person trial by jury and can't nobody wear no face mask. Again, Ada County, Idaho, Magistrate Judge David Manweiler said he'd reach a decision on the motion by the next hearing on December 23rd. In court, this pampered idiot, this guy who led a terrorist attack on a federal, a national park, and got away with it. That's some privilege, that white privilege. He said that there ain't enough scientific evidence that the COVID-19 pandemic is real, and you can't meet the burden of proof for court closures and health guidelines and face masks. I have a right to due process. I have a right to see your face, Judge, to see the prosecutor's face. If we were to just abandon due process justice because of health concerns, safety, then we really wouldn't have it at all. God, why, careful. Don't, Bob, don't. Don't wish that he and his freak father and his entire disgusting clan would get to COVID and die. You don't do that. So I don't do that. I didn't do nothing wrong at the state capitol. These are my rights. I'm the accused. And if you know I'm the one in jeopardy, I'm the one that, you know, is risking life or limb because of this, you know, these charges gin me. Jesus God. And of course he's got his own little grift going now. He's created a group that is of course fully funded, and it's all tax free. Hallelujah. And they're making bank trying to get people to kill themselves by ignoring the virus. Yeah. Somehow or another. And I don't know the answer. Yeah, maybe you do. I don't. Hefty fines. I mean, big ones, like $1,000 fines. But how do you enforce it? I've been to four or five. I've had to, didn't want to. It's where you buy gas. You know, four or five different convenience store chains around here. And there's always somebody without a mask wandering around inside, even though there's a sign that says, wear the damn mask. You drive into Fayetteville, there's a banner across the main street leading in, Court Street, and it says, mask up like hell. You can make me wear a mask when I put it on with my cold dead fingers or something like that. Jesus. It's... And then there's Oklahoma Stan. The mayor of Oklahoma, Stan, is a maggot by the name of Kevin Stitt. And he's down to threatening doctors and hospital workers now. He called Jim Gebhardt at Mercy Hospital last month in Oklahoma City because there'd been news reports with doctors from Mercy Hospital giving, you know, opinions about the COVID. And two senior staff members at Mercy are the ones who dropped the dime on Governor Stitt. Governor Stitt told the doctors, who are, you know, medical professionals and know sciencey things, he said, if y'all don't stop fear-mongering about capacity issues at the hospitals, well, I may just have to cancel elective medical procedures, and that ain't going to be good for y'all's wallets nor that of the hospital. Really? Trying to blackmail doctors into not talking about the greatest public health crisis since the AIDS epidemic. I'm paying attention, Matt. And he's also shaken down and threatening other hospitals as well, Governor Stitt is. And when contacted, his office declined comment. And meanwhile, Stitt, among other things, also said that Oklahoma is the victim of a global conspiracy. You know, Wuhan. Had a note from Matt in San Francisco. Did you catch Trump yesterday mumbling about reaching 15% immunity and how that was such a good thing? This, verifying that this man believes that the virus should just run wild. The herd immunity theory gets us to how many million dead? I don't think it's surprising that there's a large crossover from people who believe you can pray your hair to grow and believe what Trump says, as well as any number of other conspiracy theories. Stop the ride, says Matt. I want off. And I think we all feel so much of that. We just want it over. But there's a, you know, and little froggies want wings so they won't bump their green little butts when they hop. But God, I understand it. We had a beautiful blue sky day here today. I haven't had to burn propane back here. Agnes warmed it up to about 70 degrees. I turned the heater off and it's fallen to about 63, but that's still... Well, that's still air conditioner comfortable for me. But it was a beautiful, beautiful day. High blue skies, no clouds. And as I looked at those skies, those sunny skies, you know, I guess it got up into the 40s, wasn't much wind, and suddenly it wasn't so bad. But I just yearned. I mean, it really, really yearned. For the coming of spring. Because I am so eager. Not just for spring and around here, the ramps coming up and the red buds blooming. So beautiful when the red buds come on. But for what that may mean for our country. With competent leadership in the White House and competent messaging, we might be able to get north of that 50% of people willing to contribute to our overall well-being and take the vaccine. But it's going to be a it's going to be a mighty high, steep hill to climb, because it's going to be a matter of convincing people to listen to their minds instead of their preachers. And remember, for way too many people in this country, the preacher has the power to send them to hell after they're dead. And they take that shit literally for gospel. And, you know, reality spoken here. That is not going to be an easy hill to climb. Not by a long shot. No. But, you know, Horn Family Community Congregation, we can and will get through this as long as we stand socially distanced, shoulder to shoulder. We gather here, we have little laughs, we give voice to our fears, we manifest our anger and frustration at the people who are killing us, killing people we love, killing people we don't even know, but because of who we are and how we are able to manifest sympathy and empathy for them. And I think that's one of the things that has us so thoroughly exhausted. The exhaustion of constant, endless grief. But, you know, as long as y'all keep the program going, I'll do everything in my power to stay safe and keep my family safe and be here so that this conversation can continue. And we can continue to bolster and support one another. Thank you very kindly to Darlene in Connecticut. $100 challenge in honor of that great call you had with John just now. Thank you, Darlene. I loved hearing from John. We don't hear from him enough, and he explained why. But thank you. So we've got about 20 minutes to meet a $100 challenge, and that would be monumental. Because that would get us down to only, we would actually have yesterday funded too, or very nearly. All but about, I think, maybe $80 of yesterday. Thank you, Darlene. I can't thank you enough. And well, I'm thinking about something here. We have, and I wasn't sure exactly how I was going to use it, maybe to help defray the cost of the oral surgery that I hope will be coming up. But, you know, maybe, for as long as they last, anybody who, and this is just how it breaks, how the numbers break out relative to the cost. I was kindly provided with a number of Horn coffee mugs. Some people are already getting them, or will already be getting them because of what they have done. But going forward, anybody... the next 40 people who contributes $120 or more, we will, Agnes and I will make a list and send out these lovely Horn coffee mugs. They're white mugs with the Horn logo. And just as a token of our esteem and appreciation for your continued support of the program. So that could be a big help, and I'd like to just have a way of saying thank you. And like I said, there are people who will be getting them already. But the next 40 folks, $120 or more, and in some cases, just you get a horn mug to have. I don't know, have your coffee or your hot chocolate in while you're listening to the program. So I've got the boxes to fit the boxes in, and we'll just make a list, make sure I've got your mailing address, and I'll go out and start sending out boxes via the U.S. Postal Service as quickly as I possibly can. And I'll bet you Agnes will even help me do that, because she's just that awesome. Update, Jeremy in Vermont, subject line Canada. Ron was talking about the vaccine a little bit ago. Quebec, right above Vermont, had a big outbreak. Justin Trudeau has now said that the border is no longer a soft border closing. It's a hard closing and will be for quite some time. Well, right, because we're, unfortunately, a country that used to be among the most enlightened on earth, despite our faults, we're now a nation of plague rats. We are a country to be avoided. Shame. The shame. The answer, my friend, isn't blowing in the wind, says Scott in San Diego. Instead, it's to be found in a silly little song by Roger Miller from the mid-1960s. You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. It's about the dynamic of remaining upright and above ground in the midst of a history-making pandemic. Whether you use the old-school clamp-on metal skates that need a key, or the latest space-age inline racing skates, or rocket-powered Acme skates of the future, you simply cannot make any goddamn forward progress when you're trying to do it in a big fenced-in area with big lumps and clumps and pyramids of buffalo poo all over the place. It's the buffalo shit, bullshit, that gets in our way every time. So here's the backup mantra, you know, to "We're All Screwed, Bob." You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. Hear, hear. Absolutely true. And funny, too. That gets a cowbell. And so, this is big. Yuki and Ralphs met Darlene's challenge. So that actually gets us down. Yesterday's fully funded. We started on this evening. And that's tremendous. I can't thank you enough. So I'll get mugs out as soon as I possibly can, both to Ralphs and to you, Yuki. Thank you so much. And I was just thinking, this seems kind of egotistical. You want me to see about getting see if a Sharpie will stick to it? I'll be happy to sign it on the bottom or something if you want. That, like I said, makes me feel like an egomaniac, but I figured somebody would probably ask, and so I'll experiment on one of the mugs and see if Sharpie will stick to it. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Ralphs, for your mailing address. Yuki, make sure that I've got one for you, too, please. Thank you so very much. Trying to think what that does for us. So, yeah. I'll have it figured out by tomorrow. And thanks again to the individual who provided the mugs to us so that we could have that kind of little thank you here at the holidays. What else? Because it's prayer meeting Wednesday, and it's not like we're wanting for material. Oh, no. Not by a long shot. How about a little music? Flo and Joan are musical performers. And they have an anthem for all the anti-vaxxers out there, and God knows we need this giggle.
My child is a gift of my creation. My babe, my darling, sweetums, my papoose. I've shielded them from harms and spoils. And bugs and birds and boils. Since the day I dropped that treasure out my goose. Parents fill their kids with junk and poison. How they treat them, it leaves me bewildered. And this arises especially in matters pharmaceutically. Yes, surprise, I do not vaccinate my children. Medical science stinks of silly. It's a bunch of willy-nilly. For I have read the internet and you're not tricking me. It's Dr. All indoctrination and pharma fornication. I have seen less hocus-pocus coming out of wizard's sleep. I myself am an educator, though granted not on paper. I spout my beliefs, which I believe to be believed. Their PhDs stink out like bum sweat, but I have a degree in mums and I'm no gooder than a doctor. Clappy, clappy for me. Polio, oh no, Leo, that disappeared some time ago. Measles, mumps, and rubella are all a bunch of ooh-la-la. Other parents, don't you scoff, it's just about a whooping cough. And how'd you get rid of the cough and the whoop? Why? You whoop the cough away. Whoop, 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 whoop the cough away. Hush, little baby, don't say a word. Daddy's going to cure you with good wishes and herbs. And if those good wishes do you wrong, you won't have to worry, cause you won't last long. I will not have my angel injected with autism from these cocktails you can cop from witches' tits and horses' jizzen. The facts might say otherwise, but doctors screw up all the time. I haven't trusted science since I saw the film Flubber. My chest of allergic reaction to vaccine is one in a million. And my child's unmatched in brilliance is one in a million. And since my child is so special, it'll definitely happened to them, because that's how statistics works. I read that in a leaflet which I made myself. And while we're here sharing 9/11 was a hoax, the earth is flat, Father Christmas is a pedo, and I'm a good mother, which is why I do not fight. I hate my children. They will die, 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 not trick me, nor poke me, nor prick me. Your facts are not facts, they are medical fluff. These toxins and antifreeze not in my baby, please. I am an expert, enough is enough. The science perverse and it works in reverse. You instinct of my child to make it them worse. Be crazy, you crazy, away from my baby. You can't kill my darling if I get there first. The faster you say it, the more it is true. You can't kill my darling if I get there first. Die, 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 die.
Flo and Joan. And an anthem for the anti-vaxxers. You can't kill my children if I get to them first. That's brilliant. And you find it on YouTube. And Don, our buddy Don in British Columbia, sent the following along. I see people wearing winter coats and hats. What a bunch of sheep. LOL. I did my own research and found out that only 1,500 people die from hypothermia in the U.S. per year. That's only 0.0005% of the population. They live in fear of something that 99.9995% of the people won't die from. And it gets better. A lot of the people who died from hypothermia were wearing coats and hats, and they still died. Coats don't work. Take off the coats. this is a case of there's none so blind as those who will not see. Mike in Cascadia writes, breaking, what the is going on in Idaho and Ada County? From Boise Mayor Lauren McMean, the Anne Frank Memorial was vandalized by racist criminals. Nine stickers with swastika symbols were placed throughout the memorial. This is shocking and disturbing, and we know it does not reflect the values of our community. Wrong, Mayor, ma'am. Wrong, Madam Mayor. It does reflect the value of your community because those people live in your community. And they have been petted and patted and coddled and pampered by the Republican Party in your state, God, for a generation or more. And you know they have. I had the audio of the little Nazi prick being driven out of a neighborhood in Marin County, California. I guess it was last week. And he was putting stickers with swastikas on them on signposts and everywhere he could find an open space to put one. At what, Fairmont, I think? And it sounds like it's probably maybe the same sticker. Because they are every goddamn where. And, you know, once again, I will say what I've said before. This country has a Nazi problem that this country does not want to acknowledge. Because we keep saying things like, that doesn't represent the values of our community. When, quite obviously, it does. The vandalism in Boise took place either late Monday night or early on Tuesday. And the swastika stickers were stuck throughout the Anne Frank Human Rights Memorial in Boise. That center is maintained by the Wasmuth Center for Human Rights. And they posted posted photos on Facebook showing the stickers. And yes, it was the same goddamn sticker that little turd in Marin County was sticking on light poles and whatnot. A white sticker with a black swastika and the words, "We are everywhere." Fairfax, not for Paramount. Fairfax. Fairfax, Marin County. Thank you, Dave, number 11. I appreciate the correction. It's a sad statement in our community to have such a public statement of hate. That from Dan Prinzing, the executive director of the center. And another individual posted on Facebook, "I fear for what is happening to our community." Well, yeah. But remember, Ruby Ridge was in Idaho. It has long been a haven for Nazis, racists, white supremacists. And Idaho has largely done nothing about it.
Oh, we can't offend them. They got constitutional rights to engage in hateful behavior and terrorize the other good, decent citizens of our state.
But the bottom line is, if you get rid of all the goddamn Nazis and white supremacists, the Republican, well, it's like Donald Trump, you know. If you gave the man an enema, you could house him in a matchbook. I know, there went dinner in the Pacific Standard Time Zone. If you eliminated all the Nazis and white supremacists from the Republican Party in this country, you wouldn't have a Republican Party in this country. But oh, so many people are afraid to say that. Because, oh, we don't want to, yeah. We don't want to be like them. It's not being like them. It's refusing to tolerate them. One more. Rick Wiles. Anti-Semite. And he's come up with a final solution.
Firing squad rule change fast-tracked.
Hmm. Right. After the election.
After a major shakeup at the Pentagon.
Right.
But it was General Flynn pardoned today.
And it wasn't like this was put out there so to make it look obvious. Like, hey, look what we're going to do. Yeah. It was like buried.
On the day before Thanksgiving when nobody's even paying attention to news except people like us. Yeah.
So why this change, Rick? Why would they fast track this?
I'm not trying to be funny about it, but because they plan to shoot some people.
Be the only explanation.
They're going to have a bunch of traitors. They're going to line them up against the wall and start shooting them because that's what they deserve.
That's what the law is.
The Democrats, the news media, if the leftists, if scientists, professors have been working secretly with the Chinese Communist Party, then line them up against the wall and shoot them. That's what you do with them.
You got that? Think he's not a Nazi? That's what Nazis do. They murder the opposition because they can't compete with their ideas. And this sick freak is advocating lining people up and murdering them simply because he disagrees with their politics. And there we are. And here we are. I'll have to check that. Mighty Mouse, I'll have to check that link out after the program. Another line from You Can't Roller Skate in a Buffalo Herd from Brother John. If you put your mind to it, you just might do it. That's a line from the Roger Miller song. You don't want to try, though. No, I wouldn't even roller skate around Buddy the Beefalo. No. Steve in New York is in disagreement with me. Oh, so many people are afraid to say that. I love you, but I completely disagree. I think it has more to do with the fact that those who aren't fascists don't say that because it doesn't do any good to do so. What reason is there to state the obvious? Well, it being prayer meeting Wednesday and all, if you seek to exorcise a demon, you have to call it by name first. And if you don't say we have a Nazi problem, A, the Nazis get to cruise right along until they eventually get their way, because they never stop until they get their way, and then it's an ugly business trying to get rid of them. Man, you think having cockroaches is bad. And you also have to call it out and acknowledge it for what it is, so that more people can learn. The more people do it, I think it does good to do so. I think that's how you get rid of the little bastards. Oh, God, not just Idaho, Jimmy tells me. Bomb scare in Spokane, a very red part of the state of Washington, at a Democratic headquarters. They are done to a tender turn.
and they are aching, the maggots are, for any reason to go from terrorist threats to terrorist acts. Yeah. So thanks, everybody. Thanks to all of you who helped out so much filling in the hole this evening. That's just tremendous. Thank you. I can't thank you enough. Thanks to all of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. Thanks to those of you who contribute a la carte or all of the above or some portion. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Pinch Hit Midweek Chat Room Utility Moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Deacon Steve. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The best place to listen to Malloy in the first run is at HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. You know, I just had an update, or a flash came across from BuzzFeed. It said, Americans are at the morgue. Australians are at the mall. What life looks like when you deal rationally with a pandemic. COVID infections are low to non-existent in several countries where life looks practically normal. Some people even forget occasionally that there's a pandemic going on. No masks. People go to the malls in New Zealand. They're sitting next to each other in movie theaters. Live theater and sports and live music have come back in Australia. Concerts are packed. The bars are busy and festive in Bangkok. Just about one of the only pride parades to take place in the entire world this year happened in Taipei, the capital of Taiwan. And 130,000 people showed up for it. And us, arguably now one of the most ignorant, fucked up countries on earth, we're still fucked. Well, could be worse, though. You could be in Mother Russia, where Vlad Putin's government is warning people that after they've had the Putinka vaccine, they got to lay off the hooch for 2 months. Deputy Prime Minister Tatiana Golikova told TASS, vaccination will take 42 days. Citizens of glorious Mother Russia need to avoid alcohol and immunosuppressant drugs while following mitigation measures to avoid infection. I doubt that's going to play very well, but who's going to complain? Next thing you know, you're standing on the ledge of a hotel room, and because Pooty doesn't like complaining. Now, the Putinka vaccine has barely been tested, but they're going to do it anyway, because it's Mother Russia. Is heroic to take vaccine that may only be made out of old warehoused Putinka brand vodka. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Let's do this again tomorrow. What do you say? Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. The best way to stay safe is to stay the hell home. Order your groceries if you can. If you can't, you got to go out like I do. Wear your mask, wear your gloves, wash your hands, carry hand sanitizer everywhere you go. Hand sanitize your gloves when you're taking them off, and then take off your mask, then take off your gloves, then hand sanitize your hands. Keep like Clorox wipes in the car. Wipe down your steering wheel. Wipe down the slats in your vents, the dashboard, any surface that gets touched. Okay? Because I want us all to get through this together. Maintain your social distance 10 feet if you're wearing a mask and the other person's wearing a mask. If the other person isn't wearing a mask, avoid them like the... Well, never mind, you know. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes toward you saying, I got a right, a constitutional right to see your face, avoid that person like the plague. Because they are. Later, y'all.